You know, George said we're having fun back here. I hope you all are getting the fun out there too. It's a wonderful place to be to worship this morning. A couple of things I want to share with you. If you are interested in learning more about our church and even joining our church, we are having a newcomers class next Sunday after worship, just below this room in the conference room downstairs, and lunch will be served. So anyone and everyone is welcome to come and join us for that time. Also, Interfaith Ministries has what they call the Super Bowl, S-O-U-P-E-R, and it is Friday, January 31st. Like last year, I'm going to save a table, only this time I'm going to get there earlier so that everyone has a place to sit. Come and join me for a bowl of soup from wonderful restaurants that are donated. And this goes to help the homeless ministries that Interfaith does. So Friday the 31st, anytime 11, 11:30-ish, if you want to come, go through the line, and then the UCC table will be reserved and we'll have a good time together. She was told not to look, and she looked. Her punishment came swift and horrible, death. Frozen in the moment of her transgression, exposed to the eyes for all to see her act of rebellion. She was fixed there in a spectacle for everyone to see, reduced to a ridiculous state. And for what? She was told not to look, and she looked. But why did she look? I asked my Sunday school teacher. It doesn't matter why she looked, my teacher said. God said not to look, and she looked. She thought she could get away with disobeying God, but of course she couldn't. Nobody can get away with anything because God sees it all. She's another biblical no-name woman. Her identity is locked into the story of her husband, and H.V. Morton says of her, "The poor woman truly had the shortest biography in literature." She has no words in the story, not a one recorded for history. Only her one bad moment in life is preserved for us. I thought this week, how would I like it if I was old enough to have grown children, but no words from my mouth, food I prepared, work I did, lessons I taught were ever remembered. Just one mistake, hanging out there for everyone to see. One mistake forever etched in the story and preserved for millennium. Now, her husband had only one claim to fame. He was the great patriarch Abraham's nephew. And his story is a disturbing one. It's one of the harshest reminders of the status of women. You can read the story from the traditional word in the insert in your Bible. Many of you already know it. This father, Lot, was willing to hand over his young daughters to be gang raped in order to save his male house guests from the same humiliation. In a nutshell, this is a story about hospitality, not sexuality. Lot's action is judged by the hospitality rules of the culture, and it's hard for us with modern eyes to think about this without thinking of sexual perversion, but that's a story for another day. Being an inquisitive wife, or child, I gave Lot's wife more thought. At the time, I truly did believe that God sees everything. But why did she look back? I didn't believe she thought she could get away with it. A person doesn't look back simply out of rebellion. She had to have some sort of reason for looking back. I didn't want to press the issue with my Sunday school teacher, but I was fairly certain that whatever it was that made Mrs. Lot look back in her flight was something like this overwhelming compulsion a sort of irresistible urge. I don't know about you, but I share this with Mrs. Lott. Like speeding. I know what the speed limits are, but I like the feeling of speed. I like the reckless, carefree, world be damned feeling that comes with going fast. So like Mrs. Lott, I know about irresistible urges. Like playing the car stereo too loud when I'm alone in the car, going down the street, an opera or a musical is playing, and I'm singing and I'm directing all at the same time, and I like to remember what it's like to be on stage, to be someone else, to feel that passion in the music, to escape with the sounds of melody. Like Mrs. Lott, I have some irresistible urges. Okay, I'm not going to tell you anymore. And I, like Mrs. Lott, would have had a difficult time if God had told me, you can't do these things anymore. I can't help myself. But I still don't know why Mrs. Lott looked back. I wonder if God just doesn't allow any questioning. In that case, lots of us are in big time trouble. As a child, I had many, many questions, especially about God. There were times I wondered when God would simply not tolerate the existence of a skeptic. And that's maybe why Lot's wife died. On my quest to answer this question, I found some interesting tidbits about her. According to Jewish Midrashim, her name was Irit. It's not in the Bible, but it's tradition in the rabbinical writings. Irit and Lot had four daughters. Two of the daughters fled with them, but the other two were married or at least engaged to men in Sodom. And so when Lot warned his sons-in-law that their city was about to be destroyed, they didn't believe him and they refused to leave town. Therefore, Irit's two daughters were left to choose between the husbands they loved and perhaps their children, or the warning of their father that seemed rather outrageous. According to the Midrash, Irit had pity on her two older daughters who chose to stay behind with their husbands. And the reason she turned around was to see if they had changed their minds and were following her. Have you ever been told not to look? And what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Looking. Don't watch that movie. Now I have to see it. Don't go out there if you don't have the money. Window shopping isn't very effective. Gotta go. Don't even look at that beautiful woman or handsome man. And for heaven's sakes, when you drive past an accident, don't look at the carnage left behind. But once you look, you can't take it back. You're forever frozen with the choice, just like Irit. Jesus even used Irit as a sermon illustration. Remember Lot's wife, he said in Luke 17. Don't look back. Don't go back. Go to jail. Go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Drop what you're doing. Be ready to move when God says move. Don't stop. Don't try to save your stuff, your iPhone, your keepsakes, mementos, pictures, or even your child, and move along forward into the future with me. Rabbi David Kimchi, a 13th century rabbi, pointed out that Genesis tells us that it was sulfur and fire that are said to have rained down on Sodom. But later in Deuteronomy, when Moses, before he died, warned the children of Israel not to repeat the sins of the past, he talks about sulfur and salt as having been poured onto the doomed city. It's easy to deduce then that the physical devastation at Sodom turned the city into sulfur, and the people became salt-like. Some people even believe that this story is what gave life to the metaphor fire and brimstone. In fact, at 1,300 feet below sea level, the Dead Sea is full of chemicals, salt, and the smell of sulfur. And archaeologists placed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah at the north end of the Dead Sea, while legend places them at the south end. There are salt masses known as the Mount of Sodom at the Dead Sea. Sometimes people guess that there was some sort of supernatural event, an earthquake accompanied by lightning and the ignition of natural gases in the Valley of Jordan, which was the basis for this story. But whatever the case, the fate of Irit is the fate of all the remaining Sodomites and what they experienced. She wasn't, by the way, singled out from the crowd. She died just like all the rest of them. So if you add all of this together, Irit looked back, perhaps, to see if her other two daughters were following, and she saw that they weren't, and she may have seen what became of them. She wasn't betraying anyone. She was looking for the ones who were lost with love in her eyes. I'm sure that the people in the South Asian tsunami or the Haitian earthquake looked back to see what, or more importantly, who was lost. But as I told the children, God's word is always a word of forgiveness. So let's look through the eyes of forgiveness at Lot's wife. Later in the Bible, you'll remember the story of the shepherd who had 99 sheep, and he went to look for the one who was lost. God is compared with that shepherd. Can we then not compare Irit to the shepherd and even to God? Mrs. Lot looked back. She was acting like God, not against God. She looked back to see what was happening to her daughters, perhaps, or her neighbors, or her friends. And in such a moment of grief, a person only knows one desire, to follow after the ones you love, to experience what that person is experiencing, to be with that person in every respect. And it was in that moment that Irit suffered the same fate as those she loved. She turned to salt, either because God couldn't forgive her for looking back, or perhaps because God understood and saved her from the grief of losing everything and everyone she loved. Let us think on these things as we go out this week. Let us look back as we look forward. Amen. As you're able, you're invited to stand and sing our choral benediction.